did beep.
They didn't say the message.
No? Good morning, Rabbi. So we were discussing yesterday, we mentioned the tefillah of the Shlach HaKadosh, which people know about and which many people say on the Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan Davka, a tefillah for the success, the ruchniyistic success of the children. And in fact, in a way, Gashmius as well, it says they should live b'shalom with each other, etc., etc. A tefillah for children that parents should say on Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan. And the shaila is, why Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan? Ma nishtano Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan from every Erev Rosh Chodesh? Every pardon?
Kabbalah Satorah.
Kabbalah Satorah is going to be one of the answers. Okay. So, first of all, the Shlach HaKadosh writes that it's not just a question of having a regular day Erev Rosh Chodesh and just saying the tefillah. You know, you get it on the email, and you pick it up from your email, and you just say it, you know, in the middle of work, and otherwise the day is a regular day. This year that won't apply so much, because Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan will be on Shabbos. Yeah, Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan is Shabbos, it's this Shabbos. So we'll have to discuss when you say the tefillah, and when you conduct yourself with the Erev Rosh Chodesh mode. But the Shlach HaKadosh writes, Sharoi Leshe Betanis Bayoim Azeh, that on this day their parents should fast. Who? The Ishtoi. He and his wife should both fast. V'yisoyru b'tshuva, and they should do teshuva. V'yisachnu kolini habayis, and they should try and improve things at home. Make improvements too. Issa, v'heta, tumo, taro, v'chol inyonim. In other words, it's a day of tefillah, it's a day of tanis. Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan is not just a day when, like a regular day, when you happen to say the tefillah of the Shloh. The Shloh says it's a proper day of tefillah and tanis for yitnu tzedaka la'aniyim. And he brings down sefer that brings down b'shem the chasam sofer. Shekein noag ha-chasam sofer in kol b'nei yeshivosoi. That all the boys in the yeshiva had to fast on Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan. B'chol yeshiva v'yokorim v'yachal. And then they made a minyan for lunchtime, and they lined Vayechal, and it says that the Talmidim of the Chasam Sofer did the same thing. And why? For Omar Tam, it says the Tam is Ki Omer Chazal on Shabbos Daf Peches by Pezayin on the base. But Chodesh Hashlishi L'Tzeis Bnei Yisrael, it says on the Chodesh Hashlishi, which is on Chodesh Sivan, it says that they arrived in Har Sinai. By Yusu Mirafidim, they travelled away from Rafidim, and they arrived on that day in at the base of Har Sinai. Vayachnu Bamidbo. Ma Chaniyo Bahar Sinai Bitshuva, Afnis Yosu Mirafidim Bitshuva Hoyo. In Rafidim was a terrible thing happened in Rafidim. In Rafidim, they said, Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu emoyin. It's as if they challenged the existence of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. So, you know, there's plenty of Joshua's probably we may hear about that. But I'll call upon him, it wasn't a good time for Klal Yisrael, as a result of which HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent Amalek. And Amalek attacked Klal Yisrael, the very first people to attack Klal Yisrael in the history of Klal Yisrael since they left Mitzrayim. And as a result of that, there was a battle. And Baruch Hashem, there was a miracle, and the Rabbi Hashem saved them. But before that, they went through a Torah, they went through an attack. Right? Therefore, after that, they did Teshuvah, Chazal say, Vayisum Refidim, they went away from Rofu Yudeim Adivre Torah, and they came to Har Sinai. Kum Techois, they left Refidim on Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan, Vayovoyim Midbar Sinai on Rosh Chodesh Sivan, on the first day of Sivan. So therefore, the Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan also tshuva. Kum techois, the Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan in Rafidim was a day of tshuva before they left in order to go to Har Sinai. And therefore, says the Shloh, that says the, well, he does, he I don't think he says, I think it's the Chassam Sofer who said, that that's the reason, one of the reasons, why Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan is a special day, a time for teshuvah and being Mesaken Kol Inyanei Habayis, is because it was a Zman Teshuvah for Klal Yisrael after the battle with Amalek. Okay, Bleida will carry on tomorrow.
Started at Torway, Northwest London, Monday, Kaftaret Iyar, 11th of May. Rabbi Yanki Wiesenfeld, Schlitter, When the Rabbi Should Not Speak, Part 3. This week's Torah Wave and sponsor, Leon Nishmas, Rabbi Beiruch ben Rabbi Mordechai HaKohen Zatzal, because Yatzat was last Friday. Leon Nishmas, our esteemed friend, Rabbi Yosef Do Ben, Shol Tzvi, Chol Iskovitz, Zechron Oli Bracho.
Shkoyach. So first of all, as a couple of sort of introductions, one is that I think my photo on the poster needs a bit of updating. The same photo was on the poster last week in Manchester. I spoke on in Torahway on Sunday morning, and somebody came up to me on Friday night, and he said, "Oh, Shalom Aleichem, welcome to Manchester," he said, with a Manchester accent. Yeah, he said, "Welcome to Manchester," he said, "I can see the whole of the Wiesenfeld family are here. They're all here, all of you." So I said, "What do you mean, all of us? This, you know, I'm here." Yeah. So he said, "Well," he said, "you're here," he said, "and then it looks like you've got a younger brother speaking on on Sunday morning. It's on the his pictures on the poster." It reminds me of what's called, I used to collect coins, yeah, and in coins and in stamps, you get various heads of kings and queens. So, for instance, I remember Victoria used to have three heads on the coins. There was the young head, there was the Jubilee head, and there was the veiled head. Yeah, so therefore, maybe as you move on, by the way, Queen Elizabeth II had five heads during the period of her reign. So I'll cop on there, maybe one has to move on with the picture. I want to thank, obviously, the Torah Way platform has given me an opportunity to speak. Le'el Nishmas, my Shver, and my Shvigo, Alea Shalom, and my father, Zichrono Livrocha, and my mother, Alea Shalom. It's a platform that, you know, it gives me an opportunity to be able to say Divrei Torah, Le'il Nishmosom, and I don't think anywhere else anyone would listen to me if I wanted to give a drosha. So therefore, I'm really grateful to Torah Way. Over the years, Baruch Hashem, the last 20 years, I've had many opportunities to speak Le'il Nishmos, our dear departed relatives. It should be a zechus, especially now, for Rabbi Freim Fischl ben Rabbi Yoel Arya, my Shver's 30th Yortzeit, which was on Friday. So previously, in the previous two shiurim, we examined, we started discussing when is the optimum time for a Rav to speak on Shabbos morning. When should he give the drosha? And we brought down various minhogim as to when he should speak. And we discussed three zones. We had one zone which was up to Kriyas HaTorah, and then there was one zone which is from Kriyas HaTorah up till Ashrei, and the last zone was from Ashrei until the Kaddish of Musaf. And we do various things. We say lots of things within that slot, within that period. We say you can put on, we're Mavochen HaChodesh, we say for the prayer for the king and the royal family, in shuls there are places there are say Kel Mole Rachmims, and there are places where the Rav gives a drosha. And the question is, where within that period is the best time? And my Shia is actually very connected with Torah Way, simply because I mentioned last time that we were learning these halachas in the Mishnah Berurah Shir and the Dirshul Shir, which is associated with Torah Way. I asked Rav Gershon Duna a question. He said to me, he doesn't know the answer. Why don't you give a shir on it in Torah Way? So I thought, okay, I'll give a shir in Torah Way. The next time I give a shir, we'll do it on this subject. And I'm basing my shir on a shir that I've listened to, which Rabbi David Zulzbacher gave in Munk's, because there's discussion there, and they've moved around some things in order that when the Rav speaks, they don't always keep the same Seder Tefillah. And that's one thing that we mentioned last time. And Rabbi David Zulzbacher based his shir on a tshuva which was written by Rabbi Osher Westheim, Zecher Tzadik Levrocha, from Manchester. He wrote a tshuva on the subject as well. So kum techois that every one of those is connected with Torah Way, because Rabbi Gershon Dunner is a Torah Way speaker, Rabbi David Zulzbacher is a Torah Way speaker, Rabbi Osher Westheim, Zecher Levrocha, was a Torah Way speaker, and I'm also there in a small way. So therefore, we have a lot of connection with Torah Way for this particular subject. We also mentioned last time five different minhagim in different kehillas. I'm not going to go through them now. And obviously, I just want to say that whatever we discuss and however we look at it, every kehilla should stick to its own minhagim. Also, legaba makoras, it's not practical to read out long sections or to quote long sections. If anybody needs makoras and I don't mention the makor of a particular thing that I say, by all means, come to me after the shir. I'm happy to give it. I met a rabbi on Shabbos. I was walking down Golders Green Road on my way home from shul, and I met a rabbi on Shabbos who's actually also a Torah way speaker. And he said to me, "I saw your poster. What's all that about? You know, when should the rabbi not speak?" So I said to him, "I'm speaking about when the rabbi should give his drosha on Shabbos morning." So he said, "Ah," he says, "that's interesting." He said, "Yeah," he says, "you're making me think now." He said, "I'm just coming from Hendon, where I was the guest speaker in a shul, and I gave a drosha after Chadesh Yomeinu Kikedem, that was after they put the Sefer Torah back, and before the Kaddish of Musaf." He said, "So I spoke," he said, "maybe after I spoke, I should have said a kapitel tilim. Maybe I should have said a kapitel tilim afterwards." Yeah. Oh, why? Okay, we'll discuss that. So when we get to the end of the show, we'll decide whether or not he should or he shouldn't. Okay. So we started off with the Mishnah, with the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah brought down B'Shem, the Mogen Avraham. Yeah, and that's very well known. That's where we started the shir from, right at the beginning of the first shir. That he says that Acha Ashrei, that after Ashrei on Shabbos morning, Lo Yoima Shum Dovor, that you shouldn't interrupt with anything. He brings down from the Prima Godim that there was a minag that somewhere between Ashrei and Chadesh Yomeinu Kedem, they used to make a Bishaberach for Choylim. And he says that the Prima Godim brings down, that's a mistake. Because between Ashrei and Kaddish, you're not mafsik, because the Kaddish belongs to the Ashrei. That's the Mishnah Berurah. Was? Yeah, Avarachmim. So, again, we can discuss why, are we going to ask, why isn't Avarachmim and Yahallu and all the rest of it, why isn't that hefsik? Okay. Pardon? Avarachmim is before Ashrei anyway. But all the other things, right? Yahallu and Mezmel David and Nuchayoyma, etc. We'll discuss all those things. Okay, but that's from one point of view, you can see from the Mishnah Berurah, Klo, that you mustn't be mafsik between Ashrei and Chadish Menekedem, Kaddish. On the other hand, there's a Gemara. The Gemara in Brochas Daf Nun Ches, Daf Chofka says that Reb Avia didn't come one Shabbos to Shir. He didn't come to the Shir of Rav Yosef. And the next day, when he came back, so he was asked, why didn't you come loy ol lepirka de Rav Yosef? Why didn't you come to Shir yesterday? So he said that Rav Yosef was the Rosh Yeshiva in Pumpadisa, and he used to give a drosha every Shabbos before Musaf, Rashi says. He would give a drosha before Musaf, ula acha drosha, and after the drosha, ho yeholchin lebeis hakneses, or mispalon tefillas hamosofim. So it's mashma from the Gemara quite clear. It's the Gemara, and the way Rashi explains the Gemara, that they used to have the drosha after Chadesh Yomeinu Kikedem, and then they would go off in Beis HaMedrash, and then they would go from there to Shul and Davin Musaf there. It's mashma, there's not a problem to be mafsik with a drosha, at least, between Ashrei and Musaf. So it seems like a bit of a stira. How do we understand that? Right? We have to understand what's the hakpoda of being mafsik between Ashrei and Chadesh Yomeinu Kedem, let's say. We asked the question last time, what about Hinani He'onim Emas? Yeah? Hinani He'onim Emas, say Chadesh Yomeinu Kedem. Then we say Hinani He'onim Emas. And then comes the Kaddish of Musaf. If the Kaddish belongs to the Ashrei, and the Kaddish belongs still, if you like, to the Shachris rather than to the Musaf, then why are we saying Hinani He'onim Emas before the Kaddish? You should be saying the Hinani He'onim Emas after the Kaddish. That's a question that we were left with last time. Again, we asked the question last time, Yitzchok, which is your question. Yeah, why is Yehallelu? The Mogen Avraham says clear that Yehallelu and Sukkot Dovim Mizmor and Avnucha Yoyma, none of those are a problem. But the question is, why isn't it a problem? Why isn't it a hefsek between Ashrei and Kaddish? So, we mentioned last time that there were various considerations as to why you would want to say the drosha at different points. Yeah, we mentioned the different minhagim, etc. Obviously, hefsek between Ashrei and Kaddish is one of the things. Kavod ha-sefer Torah is one of the cheshbonos. Does the sefer Torah have to be left either that somebody's holding it, or they put it down on the beam and cover it, or if you've got a big shul, you've got like a special cradle to hold the sefer Torah? Why does the sefer Torah have to listen to the Rav's drosha? Maybe it's better to put it back. Then there's a question of when people come in the middle, will they disturb the drosha? And then there's a question of changing the Seder HaTfilah. Seder HaTfilah has always been in a certain way, and then they change it to say the drosha in a certain way. And Tosis brings down the Tanis Bahab as well. Tosis, when he speaks about, in Kiddushin, when he speaks about the Tanisim that we have after Pesach and Sukkos, he says because of the Averis, because of the intermingling of men and women in Shul, Shehanoshim boys Lishmoya HaDrosha, that the women come on Yom Tov, yeah, not for Yizka only, and not for the davening, but they come Lishmoya HaDrosha. So there's a question of when we have the drosha and whether or not latecomers, generally, if it's men or women, are walking in during the drosha. That can disturb the drosha. So we discussed that there are various chishboinus. We're trying to bring a raya, yeah, that actually it's not a problem to be mafsik between Ashrei and Chadish Yemenu Kedem. And the raya is from Simon Tofresh Chof Aleph in Hilchas Yom Kippur. The halacha is in Hilchas Yom Kippur, I won't bring down the whole Loshon, but the halacha is that if there is a bris milah on Yom Kippur in the morning, then when is it done? It says it's done after Ashrei. Right? The Mishnah, the what's called brings it down the halacha quite clearly. Lomel b'yom ha-kippurim acha Ashrei. This is Simon, the Ramor in Simon Tofresh Chof Aleph. Ach after oisin hefsek godol al yidei zeh bein Ashrei lekadish. Says even though it's a hefsek godol bein Ashrei lekadish, and the Levush goes even further, and the Levush says, what happens if it's a place where there's no eruv, and therefore the bris is in a private house? Yeah, the bris is in the house. Then what do? We stop the davening kaviyochel. Everybody goes out privately from shul to the bris, and then afterwards they're going to come back in order to finish off and daven musaf. It's going to create not only a big hefsek in terms of time, but it's going to create a big hefsek in that the shul's going to empty out, and then everybody's going to be away for a long time, and a different place, masiach das kaviyochel, and then they come back, and we're doing all that between Ashrei, after Ashrei, it says. The minig is to after Ashrei, says the Ramor. And the Levush says, even if it's in a private house, he says you should put the Sefer Torah back in the Oron HaKodesh because it would be a bezoyin for the Sefer Torah that it should be left out and the shul is emptied out. Yeah. So he says you should put back the Sefer Torah, but nevertheless, yeah, it's after Ashrei. That was between Ashrei, yeah, and the Kaddish. So he says put back the Sefer Torah simply as the covet of the Sefer Torah. The Sefer Torah shouldn't be abandoned whilst everybody leaves the shul in order to go to the bris and then to later to come back. Some people say that as long as there are a few people left behind, it's the same thing with when people go out. It's another thing that we do in order to break is if before Tkiyah Shofar, those people who make Kiddush. So the Sefer Torah is usually left on the bimah, and we cover it over, and then the people go out. So they say, is it not as bizarre of Sefer Torah? So they say, as long as there are people left in the Beis HaMedrash. If the entire Beis HaMedrash was empty, Yizkor again. If everybody goes out, if you've got a young shul and there isn't a single person saying Yizkor, then you've got no problem. Right? There's no Yizkor. And if there is Yizkor, then there's somebody left in the shul.
Exactly.
So that's not the problem. But the Kiddush, it doesn't have to be a minion. Right? It's not a bazaar for the Sefer Torah, as long as there are people still. Right? I see every time, you know, that when they have Kiddush in Shul on before Tkiyah Shofar, there's always left a number of people in the Shul who are saying Tehillim or Lo Yindaf Hayomi. Not everybody goes out for the Kiddush, and therefore it's not considered such a bazaar for the Sefer Torah. But you can see from here that Al Pi Halacha, the Ramah didn't seem to have any problem with Bris Milah, not even if it makes a big hefsek. Right? It's a hefsek gadol. The Maharam Shik says on that, he says the principle is, and it's a principle that's going to guide us through the answers to our questions. The Maharam Shik says, Ein mitzvois mafsikin ze ze. He says, if you're doing a mitzvah, you're doing a bris milah, then the bris milah is not going to be mafsik, you're davening. Now, exactly why that is and exactly how it works, I don't know, but he says it on this subject. He says, a mitzvah is not mafsik. He says, Nusach HaTfilah will also not be mafsik. The Nusach HaTfilah that is printed in the Siddur, Yehallelu, and Mizmor L'David, and Avnucha Yoyma, those things are not mafsik. Do you know what is mafsik? And that's what the Prima Godim said, which was brought down in the Mishnah Berurah, yeah, to make a Mishnah Berurah for a Choyle. He says, that's optional. That's not a Chelek of Tfilah, and it's not mafsik. It's not a mitzvah. You could do that any time. You could do it after davening. You could do it earlier on. And the same thing is lekavronim. There was a minhag which I think they do in monks on Yom Tov, which is to make a Mishnah Berurah for the Chevra Kadisha. Yeah, I think on Yom Tov they do that in monks, that they make a Mishnah Berurah for the Chevra Kadisha. There was such a minhag that you can't do between after Ashrei and before Musaf. Yeah, and again the Kel Mol Erachmim are places where they do Kel Mol Erachmim. Yeah.
The Bahab, I think they say after Ashrei.
Pardon?
I'm saying.
I know, and he said the Maharam Shik would hold that those Mishnah Berachs that they make after Ashrei, which are in theory optional, right? Don't say the prayer for the king and the royal family after Ashrei. Say it before Ashrei. Yeah, that would be the svara, right? Because he says they are divrei rishus. He says divrei rishus is called a hefsek, but a mitzvah is never a hefsek. Another principle that we want to understand, which is also brought down in the Prima Godim, is as follows: that the Kaddish between Shachris and Musaf, the Kaddish that you're saying after Kaddish Shemenu Kekedem, Chatzi Kaddish, and then the Shemona Esra of Musaf, not Shemona Esra, but the Amida of Musaf, yeah, that is a sort of a bridge between Shachris and Musaf, and it doesn't only belong to the Shachris, in other words, to say that this is the conclusion of the Ashrei, but it also belongs to the Musaf as well. It's a Hachonah for the Musaf as well. It's a bridge, it's a dual-purpose Kaddish. Yeah? Why? He says as follows, if you hear the Loshon of the... first of all, the Elia Rabba says as follows. The Elia Rabba says, which I don't think we do, or in those shuls that do it, they don't do it. He says as follows. The Elia Rabba says, what happens if you have, in some places, I think in many places, where there is a changeover of chazan between Shachris and Musaf? Yeah? If there's a changeover of the chazan from Shachris to Musaf, he says, the Kolboy writes, in a place where there are two people davening, echad liyotze ve'echad lemusaf, he says, horishon mikro batoira, the first one reads the Torah, v'acharei kriyas ha-Torah v'haftoiras, oime mishaberach, v'ashrei v'yihallelu, umachse ha-sefer limakoimoi. He says, the Kolboy says, that the person who davens shachris finishes at chadesh yameinu kekedem. He goes all the way through till the end, which I don't think we do. Right? They take over after Kriyas HaTorah, I think. The Musaf comes up, yeah? The Baal Musaf.
Musaf starts with the
what? From Yukum Pokon, exactly. He says, V'achakach, and after Chadesh Shemena Kekedem, says the Kolboy, Yamoid Hasheni V'yoyme Kaddish Zuto. He says, then the second Chazan takes over at the Kaddish Zuto, at the Chatzi Kaddish before Musaf. We followed Philas Musaf. Another interesting piece which is brought down is as follows. It says this is here. One second. The Levush says as follows. He says, Batar Mamiras Kaddish Koida Musaf. He said, what about why do we say Kaddish before Musaf? Now you can hear his Loshon already. He's not talking about Tam Amirus Kaddish Acha Ashrei. He's describing it as the Tam of Amirus Kaddish before Musaf. He says, Ki Ika Takonos HaKaddish Koitam HaTfilo Nira Shehu Mitam. He brings down the Mishnah in what's called Kedei Sheyichavnu Libom Lamokoim. The Kaddish is there in order to put you in the right mood, and to put you into the right mood to daven Musaf after that. Yeah, he says, "Dahakavona beroimimus abori yisbaruch shavui." The Kaddish is telling you about the greatness of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Yiskadal v'yiskadash shemei rabo. You're telling about the greatness of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. V'zeh beforish beKaddish. To who yisbaruch shmoi le'elam in kol berchoso. The Rebbein Shlom is le'elam in kol berchoso. Yeah? And therefore, Bamiyos Ashrei the Kaddish, the Ispei Shvach, he says, and that actually, he says, is pretty much the same as Ashrei. The Kavona, if you like, the theme of Ashrei, is Godoy Lashem Mehulo Mo'od, Malchusko Malchusko Le'elamim. He says there are very, very serious, very similar themes in Ashrei as there are in the Kaddish. But he says the Kaddish is there, if you like. You've got the Ashrei, which is Roim Mus Hashem. You've got the Yiskadal V'Yiskadash, which is, if you like, the conclusion of the Ashrei, but he says it's also the Achona to the Musaf. It's a dual-purpose Ashrei. It's a dual-purpose Kaddish, is to bring the bridge across from one to the other. And it belongs, true, it belongs to the Ashrei beforehand, but it also belongs to the Musaf that is coming afterwards. It's preparing us for the Musaf that's about to come. And therefore, now we can start looking back a little bit at the questions that we asked. Right? We asked, why is Yehallelu L'Dovid Mizmor, Mizmor L'Dovid, Uvnuchayoma, etc. Why are they not a hefsek? Because we said that anything which is a mitzvah, like Milo, or any of the Nuschoes of Tfilah, those are not considered the hefsek between Ashrei and Kaddish. Yeah, but the only things that were considered the hefsek are things which are divrei rishus, like the mishaberach, the kel mole rachmi, mishaberach lechoyle, or for the chevra kadisha, and that sort of thing. We asked a question about hinani he'oni memas. What is hinani he'oni memas? It is the hakdoma that the chazan is davening to the Rabbeinu Shlom, give me the siyata d'shmaya to daven musaf properly. So therefore, if kaddish, but if we understand that the Kaddish before Musaf is there in order to put you in the Musaf mode, then Hinani Heoni Mamas is there to put you in the Kaddish mode of Musaf. In other words, it's a Hachona. The Hinani Heoni Mamas is already the Hachona to the Kaddish, and the Kaddish is the Hachona to Musaf, and therefore it's appropriate that Hinani Heoni Mamas can be said even before the Kaddish of Musaf, although it is after Ashrei, but again we said that Ashrei also has that theme of Romus Hakel, right? Now, talking about, what about the Drosha of the Rav? Yeah? The Drosha of the Rav. So, the what's called the Rabbi Dan Westheim's Zechron of Rocha wants to suggest, yeah, that the Drosha of the Rav is also a Dvar Mitzvah. It's Talmud Torah. It's also a Dvar Mitzvah. And if the Rav is giving a drosha, he says, he brings down actually a Prima Godim, which is very interesting. He says that if the Rav is giving a drosha, and very often Rabbonim give droshas, which are either pilpul, or they are halacha, but they finish off with a Dvar Agoda. He says the Dvar Agoda should be at the end. Don't do the Agoda first and the halacha afterwards. Do the halacha first and the Agoda afterwards, in order that the Kaddish, the Chatzi Kaddish, can go on the drosha as well. He says, similar to that they were masakin a Kaddish Drabonon after learning. So he says, although this isn't a Kaddish Drabonon, but nevertheless, he says, the Ikka of every Kaddish is the first Chelik of it. The first Chelik of it till Damir and Ba'olma, Vimra Omein. The Chatzi Kaddish is the beginning of every Kaddish, and that's the main part of the Kaddish is Kadal V'Yis Kaddash. So therefore, he says that it shouldn't be a problem that the Rav can give his drosha, even though it's after Ashrei and it's before the Kaddish of Musaf. Nevertheless, he says it's not going to be. He wants to suggest that that's not going to be considered a hefsek.
If the halacha last.
What?
Why is the halacha which he says last?
Yeah, because the takana of Kaddish Rabbonon was when you explain a posuk. The tikkun of the Kaddish Rabbanon was the Hatchila, that when a person has learnt a posuk and has explained a posuk, then there's a Kaddish Rabbanon. And therefore that's more likely to come up in the Agoda than it is in the Halacha. But it might be. You might be learning Hilchas Tefillin and quote Vayil Totefos Be'enecho. Yeah, it might be that you're doing that in the Halacha as well. But nevertheless, yeah, it might be learning Hilchas Shabbos, so speaking about B'Shom Menei Yisrael as a Shabbos. But generally speaking, in Agoda, you're usually explaining Psukim, and therefore the original Takona of Drabonon was to do that, and therefore the Kaddish will be shaykh to that. He brings down an interesting minhag for those people who wear Tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam. He says, those people who wear Tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam, they have a minig on Rosh Chodesh. On Rosh Chodesh, we say Chadesh Yomeinu Kekedem. Yeah, the Shliach Tzibur says a Kaddish, a Chatzi Kaddish, and then we take our Tefillin off. Correct? Then we take our Tefillin off. So there's a bit of a hefsek there, but it's a silent hefsek, and it's as short as possible, and that's why many people don't actually tie them up properly. They just put them down neatly and wait till afterwards in order to tie them up, in order to make the hefsek as short as possible. But he brings down that there's a minig in many places that those people who wear tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam, they put on the tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam also at that time. They take off their Rashi tefillin, they put on their Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin, he says, and they say the psukim of Kadesh Voyek V'yecho Shema V'hoyim Shemoya. So he says, why isn't that a hefsek? Yeah? So he says, why isn't that a hefsek? He says, because they get the and there we've already said the Kaddish, right? So in a way, yeah, so he says there, he says, why couldn't they wait till after Musaf? He says, you could say, right, that the Kaddish, he says the Kaddish, actually I'm just thinking about it, and I'm not sure that I understand what he says. To be honest, yeah, I'm just looking at my notes here, and to be honest, I'm not quite sure. I don't really understand, because you've already said the Kaddish, and he's trying to say that the Kaddish will go on the psukim that the person is saying when he takes off his tefillin, and he puts on the Rabbeinu Tam's tefillin, and he said these parshiyos of Shema Voyim Shemoya, Kaddish V'Yalki V'Yecho, that the Kaddish that's already been said will go on those psukim that he's about to say. I don't quite understand how that works, so I'll leave that b'tzorach iyun. The conclusion that we've got here is that, just to bear in mind, that first of all, every shul and every place has its own minhag, and the minhagim are based on a lot of considerations. As we said, there are the three zones, and there are various considerations as to what will or won't fix when the drosha should be said. The Kaddish of the hefsek between Ashrei and Kaddish, we don't have a problem with when it's a Dvar Mitzvah, and therefore, because it's a Dvar Mitzvah, like Milo, we will say that the Drosha will also be a Dvar Mitzvah, and therefore it's only Dvarim Shel Rishus that will be a problem, and not the Drosha of the Rav. And therefore, when that Rav asked me on Shabbos, yeah, that he should he have said a Kapitel Tilim after he finished saying his drosha, what happened? They said Kaddish Yomeinu Kekedem, then he got up to speak, and then came the Kaddish afterwards. So he was saying, I was mafsik between the Ashrei and the Kaddish with my drosha. Therefore, should I have said a capital Tilim? We will say, based on what we've learnt today, no, you didn't need to, for two reasons. Number one, your drosha, being a Dvar Mitzvah, was not a hefsek between Ashrei and the Kaddish anyway. And secondly, we learnt from the Kolboy that the Kaddish is the Hachona anyway to the Musaf. Therefore, even in theory, were it to have been a hefsek, nevertheless, you could still say the Kaddish. You don't have to have had. You don't have to have said psukim after your drosha in order to enable the Kaddish.
So, Bahab is the problem. For some reason, the Sidurim, Bahab is after
Asher. No, anything like that. Anything like that which is optional. Yeah, which is not a chelik of the tefillah.
I know.
Also, in monks, they've moved around the drosha as well. In monks, they moved the drosha around in order to